Several highlights from softball. Mentioned there were 2-1-0 games, and the first one was on Friday. The Bulls getting into the NCAA tournament as the number 4 seed, and if you look all around, there were only 2 other teams in the draw that were 4 seeds, meaning the quote-unquote worst team in the region, that did not win their conference tournament. So the Bulls were one of the last teams into the field, and if you looked at the other teams that were invited to Gainesville, you could definitely have argued that the Bulls were the second best behind the Gators, who are number 4 in the country and for a reason, and we saw a lot of those reasons. Their bats are scary, especially at the top of the order, but their pitching is great. Elizabeth Hightower owned the Bulls all year long, and she did not give up a hit in 13 and a third innings on the weekend. And they can follow her up with a very good lefty in Katie Cronister, and Natalie Lugo, who the Bulls didn't see, pitched a 2-hitter against South Carolina and struck out a career high. So when you have good pitching, you're going to be in every game. And when you think you've got something going against them, their defense, if it's in any sort of range, is going to make the play, as the Bulls found out on plenty of occasions. Plus, if you actually do score against them, there's a chance that they're going to come back on you. So outstanding team that the Bulls ran into. Georgina Corrick getting out of the first inning meant a lot, or at least holding the Gators down in the first inning, because the first innings she faced them this year, they put up 3 runs in the very first game of the year in Tampa. Now the Bulls came back to tie that game before the Gators won it with 3 runs in the final inning. And then April 7th, that doubleheader in Gainesville, she did not get out of the first inning. She was a little bit on the nibbling side. Charlotte Echols, their unbelievable number 3 hitter, pounded a 3-run homer, and in the end, Corrick walked 3 in a row and was pulled by Ken Erickson. The Bulls would go on to lose that game 9-1. So it meant a lot that she could navigate that first inning, and she did so. We mentioned Echols and how great she is. She absolutely blasted a triple to left center, but she was able to get Julia Cottrell to pop up to shortstop, so good job there. Then the Bulls, well, they wouldn't get many base runners or chances in this situation. There was a 2-out walt to Megan Piero. She advanced on a pass ball, so the Bulls had a runner in scoring position, which would not be the case very often. Josie Foreman grounded out. Then start of the second inning. At the bottom of the second is Emily Wilkie gets hit by a pitch, and boy, did the Gators love to lean into pitches. They got hit 3 times in this game. There were 3 occasions where they had 2 runners on base. This time their first 2, but then a pop-up, a foul out the bottom of the order was at least a navigable portion of the order, and Corrick navigated it. It actually got some help as their number 9 batter, Cheyenne Lindsay, left the batter's box early, and that's how the bottom of the second ended. Bottom of the third, it got a little scary. Again, a leadoff hit by pitch and single, and nowhere to put Charlotte Echols. You had to pitch to her, and they were pitching her outside, and here's how that dramatic at-bat ended.
And it's right up the middle. Could be 2. Stepping on the back for 1 is Williams. Over to first for a double play. It drew Kendall Williams right onto the bag. And Echols has pretty good speed. But she grounds into a double play, and there are 2 away. Runner does advance to third base, but the Bulls will take that every single time. Gators stranded 2 in the last inning, just hit into a double play to maybe keep it scoreless here, hopefully for the Bulls. 2-2 pitch. There's the changeup, and she swings and misses. Strike 3, Josie Foreman throws the ball down. First strikeout of the day for the strikeout queen. But it was a beautiful, and I mean beautiful, pitch. And this game is still scoreless and containing quite a bit of drama.
That was when you started to think that the Bulls were going to give it a go in this game. On the other end, they weren't exactly, again, racking up scoring opportunities. They went down 1-2-3 in the top of the fourth. Another leadoff batter in the bottom of the fourth, this time a double, but strikeout, pop out, grand out. 1-2-3 for the Bulls. Yeah, you could see it was quick top of the innings and a little bit longer bottom of the innings. Another leadoff double in the bottom of the fifth by Cheyenne Lindsay. They got a big ground out to Williams, who held the runner. Then a second out, another ground out to Kendall Lindeman. She's the one who, by the way, in her first 2 seasons in college at Minnesota, started every game at catcher and hit 20 homers each year. She only has 8 this year, but still pretty good when you can get her out. So there was a runner on third and 2 away, and here comes Charlotte Echols. And if you were listening, yeah, we knew that was going to be an intentional walk. She took second right away, and then this happened.
No score in the bottom of the fifth in the NCAA tournament. Corrick pitches, and it's back this way. Foreman has a chance to make the catch, and she's got it! Just off the end of her bat, Foreman's got her face all red and screaming with delight as once again the Gators strand a couple. It's the third time today that they've done that.
They would go 0 for 12 with runners in scoring position, and guess what? In the bottom of the sixth, they had more runners in scoring position. It was the bottom of the lineup, but an error helped the Gators get a runner on. Then another hit by pitch by Corrick, and in comes a pinch hitter with a chance in the bottom of the sixth. And by the way, a no-hitter is going on, so you know they're thinking, let's score and then finish off the no-hitter. But here's how the sixth ended.
Matthews is a 212 hitter. No homer. She has driven in eight. Hits that ball well, but it could be two. Pierre with the catch. Over to second base. It's a double play! As leaning off the bag was Hoover, she couldn't get back. And in one motion, Piero rifles it to Kendall Williams. And once again, a second double play.
This crowd was stunned. Again, this is the round they're used to, never giving up any runs and certainly never losing. In fact, they've only lost once in the regional round since 2014. Unbelievable stuff. And they won the College World Series in 2014 and 2015. Then, speaking of unbelievable, Anne-Marie Bruni on a bad throw, a chopper right to Hightower. Her throw was wide of the bag, by the way. Hightower, not spectacular velocity, but a great drop ball, and just had the Bulls guessing would drop in a change when you weren't expecting it. And when she did give up contact, of course, her defense was tremendous. You're about to hear more of that. Kendall Williams, a fantastic sacrifice bunt. In comes a pinch runner, Natalie Zweig. Out goes the no-hit containing Elizabeth Hightower because you had two lefties coming up. And so you have Elizabeth Hightower going 6 1/3 innings without giving up a hit. The person who relieved her got the win because she gave up a hit on the only batter she faced. But here's what happened on that hit.
And now 3-1 with Cronister, the pitcher, to Bethany King. Here's the delivery, and up the middle, and it's a base hit! Here comes Bruni. Decent throw, and she got her. Wow! And they get the pinch runner, Zweig, at third. Amazing. The Bulls get their first hit, and on a great throw in the outfield from Lindsay, they get wiped off the base paths. A double play, just simply amazing. Keen beat it into the ground, and you know how fast Bruni is. Lindsay's throw was offline, but that actually benefited the Gators, because if it had been online with her speed, of course, Bruni is gonna score. And then, you certainly can't blame the pinch runner, Zweig, for trying to get to third on the throw home, and the catcher nails her. So the no-hitter is off the books, but the Gators have all the momentum. Unbelievable.
It was a memorable play, especially if you're a Gator softball fan, and just crazy. It looked like your typical RBI right up the middle and turned into a double play. Heads up by the catcher, who was fantastic and caught, well, all three of their games. Josie Foreman, the Bulls' freshman catcher, also tremendous, was a busy person this weekend. But that's why the Gators are so good, man. Their defense is fantastic. And the person who made the throw, Cheyenne Lindsay, starts off the bottom of the seventh. You could just feel it with the single. And we said they were 0 for 12 with runners in scoring position. Well, she wasn't in scoring position, but she scored to end the game.
Her intention is to carry her team to victory, or at least get something going here. Hits the ball well. That is deep. Bruni fell down, and that is going to end the game unless Bruni makes a great throw. Here it comes home from Williams, and it's safe. Game is over. Bruni falling down really didn't have anything to do with it because it was up against the wall. An RBI double and a game winner for Adams.
Tremendous leadoff hitter, tremendous second baseman. You'll hear some of that in the final game of the regional. What that loss gave the Bulls is the hard road, which includes having to win four straight. You got to win two on Saturday against the other two teams in the field just to get to Sunday and have to knock off the Gators both times. So, the second game on Friday saw South Alabama and their ace pitcher, Olivia Lackey, shut out Baylor 2-0. The Jags had two solo homers. So then it was Florida, South Alabama to start things off Saturday, and Florida just destroyed them. Got to Lackey early on a little cheapy infield hit that scored two runs, but that set the stage. They would just get one here, two there against Lackey, and she was done after six. Then they would score three in the seventh and win it 10-0. So the Bulls knew that if they could beat Baylor, they'd play South Alabama. It was a dramatic late afternoon and evening on Saturday. It was going to be Georgina Corrick's day. Fortunately, she capped off her first three games all in the mid-90s when it came to pitch count, and you just had a good feeling against Baylor. We told you how they lost their last six games of the regular season and how, in essence, they were a team that got in because of their conference, at least got their seed because of their conference, because compare them to some of the other teams in the field that were even three seeds, and it just seemed like Baylor, and there were reasons for this, by the way. They lost three starters due to injury, including their best hitter, and they didn't have a really scary ace pitcher. The Bulls actually saw the Bears' third pitcher, Aaliyah Binford. They were hoping that she could fool the Bulls with her 48-mile-an-hour changeup and collection of all-speed pitches. And if you were listening, and we're, of course, replaying the games, you can tell right away that it had the look of a team that the Bulls would just have a typical, if it was a regular season game, you take the drama away from the NCAA, a team that you would typically beat 5-6-0, and that's about how it turned out. But in the bottom of the first, Megan Piero, who walked and stole second, and then Brooke Hartman walks, and then a ground out, tough play by the second baseman. You're thinking, okay, let's not see too many great defensive plays. Sure enough, bottom of the second, Georgina Corrick leads it off with a single. But then Josie Foreman hits one right to the third baseman, and it's a double play. And you're getting a little bit uneasy until this.
Your last outing against team not named Oklahoma, it was a 6-0 loss to Texas. Boy, that ball is whacked to left field by Rivera. Could be out of here, and it is! Alana Rivera smacks one out, and the Bulls take the lead. Alana Rivera's first home run for the freshman from Bocasiega. And there was no defense that was going to pull that one in.
A lot of Bulls fans made the trip. What a fantastic facility, by the way, there at the University of Florida. It was really cool to see Sydney Nicello, of course, the All-American soccer player. She's a big softball fan, has a lot of friends on the team. So you had that support there on Saturday night, hoping for it to be a long Saturday night. And meanwhile, Corrick was just cruising through the Baylor lineup. A couple strikeouts to start off the top of the third, the shutdown inning. And it was 1-0, but the Bulls could not tack on. They got a runner over in scoring position in the fourth, but she was stranded. Top of the fifth, a two-out walk for the first base runner of the day, but Baylor grounded out quickly two pitches later. Then the Bulls got it going in the bottom of the fifth. Just needed a little comfort zone, right? And it was all started by an infield single, Alexis Johns, who had got moved down to the number nine spot in this game. And stayed there with Megan Piero moving up into the two-hole. Had been struggling a little bit of late. Well, Johns singled, advanced to second on a pass ball. Then Anna Marie Bruni, again, infield single. Runners are on the corners. She's still second. Megan Piero, a full-count walk. She didn't have a lot of hits in the series. Not many Bulls did. In fact, only one had more than one hit. But there were a lot of walks in there. And Piero's been great leading the team in that category. And it all led to the game being broken open.
Corner infielders are up, expecting something soft here by Williams. I wouldn't expect that whatsoever. Strike right down the heart, taken by Williams. A little bit high, too high to swing at. And Baylor is playing for a chopper here, but I don't know if they know that Kendall can put a hurting on the ball. And she just does, and it gets right by the second baseman who was playing too shallow. John scores easily. Here comes Bruni, and it's 3-0. Just what I was talking about. If Collazos is playing a normal second base, she catches that ball.
Thank you very much, Baylor. Williams comes through with another big hit. The Bulls would chase Binford at that moment. Then the reliever, who had some issues with wild pitches, namely 20 of them, throws a wild pitch. And that's how Piero scores for 4-0. Then a wonderful bunt by Brooke Hartman makes it 5-0. So the only drama was with Georgina Corrick. Pitch a no-hitter. There was a definite interesting play with the one out in the top of the six. A sharp liner. Bethany Keene fielded it right away, but was sort of juggling the ball on the way to first. ended up trapping it against the ground with her foot on the bag, but it was called safe on the field, and there was no review. We had replays, but no review. So the question was, would that be ruled an error or a hit? Quickly ruled an error. And then Georgina Corrick strikes out the next two batters. An inning later, a chance for another no-hitter, but this time on the biggest stage.
USF fans to my left on their feet, recognizing the occasion. You just hear someone yell, come on, baby, one more. One more would be quite something. 2-2 pitch. Here it is. And it's to Kendall Williams on a bounce. She plays it across. And another no hitter for Georgina Corrick. Believe it. In the NCAA tournament, Georgina Corrick, no hits. The Baylor Bears and the Bulls win it by the score of 5-0.
Really awesome. And of course, the Bulls had no time to celebrate because they had to turn around and face South Alabama. In the game, Corrick needed just 93 pitches, really didn't have many stressful situations, and only walked one and had 9 strikeouts. But then South Alabama had its ace going, Olivia Lackey, and she's a very unfazed pitcher. She's the one who beat Alabama 1-0 in Tuscaloosa this year. Did have some games where she gave up chunks of runs, including earlier in the day, and had thrown a lot of pitches. While Corrick was right around 190, Lackey was nearing 300, 162 against Baylor, 130 against the Gators, and the Bulls got to her early on.
Ooh, that ball could be gone. Josie Foreman crushes it to left field, and it's on the top of the dugout, and it's a home run and a 1-0 lead. Foreman bashed that ball, and the Bulls, for the second time this day with 2 outs in the second, get a solo home run.
But that would be the offense in this game. You knew that it was going to be tough. Lackey had a rise ball, a curve ball, a screw ball, but Georgina Corrick had all of her stuff working. Strikes out the side in the bottom of the second. Bruni singled in the top of the third and stole second, but Lackey was able to bear down. 1-2-3 innings for Corrick turned in until the fourth, when they got a single off of her. Pepper Nichols, a leadoff single. She's a dangerous player. Then a sacrifice bunt that the Bulls mishandled, and so there was definitely some drama. But strikeout, again, they tried to bunt twice in this game to no success. They had to take the bunt off with 2 strikes. She was able to get a K, a line out to second, and then a strikeout swinging. Meanwhile, South Alabama had some nice catches, and it just felt like it was going to be a 1-0 game sort of situation. Then it got really scary in the bottom of the sixth inning. 2 singles to start things off.
Oh, hitter. Hitter in the left hand, and that stings. A first hit by pitch of the day. So ho-hum, here we are again, bases loaded in the NCAA tournament. USF leading it 1-0 in the bottom of the sixth, but obviously South Alabama has something going here. They've thrown 81 pitches. Big one here. With the bases loaded, 2-2. And it's hit over to first base. Keen on a short hop has to win the race, and she does! Corrick lets out a sigh of relief, and the Jags leave them loaded. That ball was hit pretty well, but on a line, and BK was able to field her position and scurry to the bag.
Yeah, that was really when it was maybe going to be a quick end, and you were very concerned, but Corrick had other ideas. Then she would get 1-2-3, bottom of the seventh, 13 strikeouts, and the Bulls advance to play again. Tricky part is now, they'd have to beat the Gators not once but twice, and honestly didn't have much of a chance. The Gators turned out a great defensive play. The very first at bat looked like Anna Marie Bruni had a chopper up the middle, but Hannah Adams is unbelievable at second base, and she would also help lock up the no-hitter. I want to play the special moment as, again, the Gators finally ended an 0-for-14 with runners in scoring position against Corrick with an RBI double by Julia Cottrell in the fourth. Seemed like the Bulls were going to hang around. They certainly did, but they couldn't get anything going against Hightower. Then Cottrell, a solo homer in the sixth. They added 3 hits later in the inning, but Corrick kept it 2-0 until the seventh. She had 333 strikeouts, as she was able to K 9 Gators. She only struck out 2 that first game Friday. So if she could strike out the side, again, the Gators were the visiting team. In the top of the seventh, she would have tied the school mark for strikeouts in a season, but it didn't happen. It still led to a special moment.
That is hit number 8 And this could be it. Ken Erickson's walking slowly. There's no one in the bullpen warming up. And this is a really great scene. He holds out his hand, hugs Georgie Nikoric, hugs the catcher, and this is amazing. Gator fans, I mean, this will get you choked up right here. Gator fans are giving Georgie Nikoric a standing ovation. And this is really something special.
And I think me coming out of that game at that moment, it was bigger than a team versus a team. It was bigger than colors versus colors. It was really important to me that I recognized how much work UF had put in and that truly they'd beaten me, you know, in that moment. And it was really, really important because the truth is you can't win them all. And I thought that I gave everything that I could for that game. And I think the UF fans saw it. The USF fans saw it. I hope people at home saw it. So coming off the field to that standing ovation meant a lot because it's bigger than the sport. It's recognizing that's people recognizing people and hard work recognizing hard work. And it was very, very touching moment for me, and I really appreciated that.
You could tell it got me too. After a half-hour wait, here's how it sounded. And again, some unbelievable defense that got me here at the beginning because I thought it was the shortstop making the play. Here's how the bottom of the seventh went. We had a couple of no-hitters this weekend. This one went to the other team.
Hartman hits it up the middle, and it could be a base hit, but a great play over there, and they get her. Runner advances, but that was Longley at short, practically running in to her second baseman and still making the play. Runner advances, but bang, bang play. Speedier runner probably gets out there, but still a no-hitter. Actually, no, that was Adams cutting across and taking it from the shortstop. My mistake. I thought that looked like a different angle on the throw. It was shortstop's ball to have. So still a no-hitter.
Bulls down to their last strike, not only of the season, but to avoid being no-hit. Hightower has been terrific. 1-2 pitch, outside. Be a memorable last at-bat for Kelsey Lay if she can get a hit here. Against the third-year standout ace pitcher for the Gators. Hightower delivers 2-2. And it's hit pretty well, but it's going to hang up for the center fielder, Lindsay. And that does it. No hitter for the Florida Gators, Elizabeth Hightower. She got to finish the job, but due to situations in the lineup on Friday, she wasn't able to finish. Everyone greets her around the circle. Hightower is actually a little emotional out there. And she gets the job done. Florida Gators are outstanding. Ken Erickson, by the way, out there actually shaking hands with all the umpires. They did a great job. You know, those guys do a lot of work throughout the course of a long regional. And a lot of work was turned in by the Gators pitching staff, which once again, more than two-thirds of their games at this level during this long run where they've made it, where they've hosted 13 regionals. More than two-thirds of their games have been won by shutouts now as they add three more to that total this weekend. Only allowing one hit in this game. Incidentally, South Alabama got two hits against them in a 10-0 loss. And the crowd, of course, getting the just desserts there. Hightower for the game. Of course, seven innings pitched, no hits, three walks, 10 strikeouts. Ended up throwing more than 100 pitches, 105. The Bulls did make her work there at the end. But likewise, the Gators made Georgie Nikoric work. She threw 142 pitches, ends her season 24-9.
First Ken, then Tim Walton of the Gators.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious that we're a very, very competitive team when you have one of the nation's best pitchers, if not one of the world's best pitchers on the mound, competing for you, even if your gas tank, and she'll never admit it, is not totally full. What you saw today was nothing but heart, loyalty to her teammates, grit, determination. She's the Pied Piper on our team. You know how she goes, attitude every day, which is incredible. Our team goes, and she just said, "Let's go, I got you." And then there's a certain point, just out of human nature and human physicality that you have to go to something else.
Their pitcher was really good. You can see that. You can feel that. I mean, she threw, I mean, shoot, how many hits did she give up? How many runs did she give up? Not very many. And I think overall, yeah, I give her credit on a great season. But yeah, we did. We grind. I mean, it was a grind. It wasn't easy. I mean, you clearly look at the score today and go, oh, well, that wasn't a runaway at all. It was a tough, tough, tough game. I thought they called a good game. I thought they pitched a good game. I thought their game plan was good. We just found a way to get a couple nice hits late in the game when we needed it.
Two awesome coaches there. Oh, by the way, the Gators scored 6 runs when Skorick had departed, including a grand slam from their shortstop, Sarah Longley, who never hit a homer in college before. And actually, when Lindsey hit a homer to make it 8-0, I announced the game as the season being over, forgetting, because it surely didn't feel like they were the visiting team, that, yeah, it's not the run rule until the home team or the trailing team gets a chance. So, yeah, I'll own this mistake.
Somebody, that ball could be a walk-off, and it is a smash of a home run. And that is going to end the season for the Bulls. Cheyenne Lindsey, with her 5th of the year, makes it 8-0. Well, that's right, the Bulls are the home team. No wonder they're still out there.
Guess it would have been better if the Gators had actually been the home team, huh? Final score would have been 2-0, but that's how the season ended. A great season, and hope you enjoyed it, as I sure did, bringing it to you on Bulls Unlimited. Gators advance, by the way, to take on Georgia in the Super Regionals back in Gainesville this weekend. And that'll do it for this special extended highlight version of the NCAA Regionals here on Unlimited Unloaded.